Accessibility.
Disability.
Mental health.
ADHD and ADD.
And many, many more topics we explore and cover.
But where?
On CITR's All Access Pass.
A unique and collectively run show on equity, inclusion, and creating awareness for people of all abilities in BC and around the world.
Catch us every other Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 4.
If you want more info or want to get involved, please find us on Facebook or send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deepi, and you're listening to All Access Pass Season 5, the summer edition on CITR 101.9 FM. I hope everyone is doing well and getting used to what is called the quarantine life. That is the world we are all living in right now. On Google Hangout, I'm joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates, and since it's been a while, we are all going to introduce ourselves so you know whose voice you're listening to. Accessibility Collective number one, please go first.
Hi everyone, I'm Nicole and I am an RN in neurosciences in Vancouver, and it's so great to be back. And wow, more than ever during this crazy pandemic, what a time it is more than ever that we should be coming together on All Access Path and connecting about topics that affect so many with diverse abilities, or as others more commonly know, as people with disabilities. So I wanted to mention I am a hard of hearing nurse, and when I first joined CITR, where it is predominantly audio, or rather all audio, it was definitely daunting. But I mean, I need to hear, but here on All Access Pass, we talk about accessibility and inclusion, and I've come back because I've learned so much from others, and trusting myself and trusting that others can be inclusive about those who have different disabilities. So I'm happy to be back on for another season, and I want to pass on the mic to another amazing collective member.
Yeah, so Jesse, another Accessibility Collective, was supposed to be here, but unfortunately due to personal reasons she couldn't, but she is a student at UBC studying sociology and creative writing. She joined the Accessibility Collective because she liked the idea of sharing accessibility to an audience within a supportive group. So that's Jesse.
And I can't wait for you guys to get to know more about Jessie. I just met her, and she's really kind and really intelligent. And shout out to Jessie. We miss you. We can't wait to have you on the show. I'm going to hand over the mic to our next amazing individual, Monica. Monica, you have the floor.
Hi, everyone. I'm Monica. I'm also a studying physics. I joined the Accessibility Collective because I was interested in getting involved in campus radio, and I thought this was a really good initiative to get involved in to spread more awareness about accessibility and inclusion.
Cool. Hi, everyone. My name is Gura. I am a UMC alumni who has recently graduated with a degree in human physiology and immunology. I joined the Accessibility Collective as I am passionate about raising awareness on the accessibility difficulties that students are faced with in our immediate community and how we as a collective can ameliorate them.
And again, my name is Deepi, and I've been with the Accessibility Collective since it began in November 2015 as the producer, host, and now as the Accessibility Collective coordinator for the third time. Besides that, I've been with CITR for 8 years as a community member, and my goal was to bring awareness on accessibility and animal rights through radio, and I think I've done that, especially when it comes to understanding the accessibility and disability issues, and that's a lot about me. Now, let's go for a song break. So, Monica, can you please introduce the song we are playing now?
Sure. Here is the song La Historia de Lola by the artist Florence Kay off the album by the same name as the track, La Historia de Lola.
Okay.
¿De dónde viene el poder que tiene el hombre en su mano? Creyéndose el mismo Dios, pero se vuelve en el diablo.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. Monica, what song was that?
It was the song by the artist Florence Kay off the album La Historia de Lola. So a little bit about the artist. Florence Kay is a Canadian pop singer and songwriter from Quebec who performs material in English, French, Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese. She has clinical depression and is an outspoken advocate for mental health issues. She has a radio show on CBC in September 2018. She will be like the host of C'est Formidable, a francophone music program on the CBC Radio 1 and CBC Music. And the album La Historia de Lola is a link to the show Mad Men. Thank you, Jesse, for this song suggestion.
Yeah, and thanks, Monica, and thanks, Jesse. So now we are going to basically interview each other so that the listeners, you the listeners, know more about our team. So I will be interviewing Gura. And so, Gura, are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready. Sure.
Okay, so tell me a bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? What are your favorite hobbies?
So, my name is Gura Gill, as I mentioned earlier. I'm from Langley, British Columbia, which is just approximately 40 to 50 minutes east of UBC, and from Vancouver. I've really been all over, just been in Vancouver, been in Abbotsford, been in Langley, been in Aldergrove, if you guys know where that is. And in terms of hobbies, I'm also pretty diverse. I like to do outdoorsy things. I like to do things like hiking. I like to do rock climbing, reading, writing, and I'm super into TV and entertainment as well.
Sounds good. Do you do a lot of hiking?
Recently, yeah. It's a nice way to get out while still being social distance away from everybody.
Yeah.
In the climate of COVID-19.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier you're studying at UBC.
Right.
What are you doing again, and what year are you in your program?
I'm actually recently graduated. I graduated approximately a week ago, and was studying integrated sciences, specializing in human physiology and immunology, which is really relevant to what's happening right now.
So congratulations on your
Thanks
graduation.
So
yeah. I guess you don't know what's going to happen as far as ceremony goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah. So what are your future goals?
So future goals I have in terms of career is I plan to attend medical school for the next cycle. So I'm going to be working on applications for that, and hopefully we can get somewhere there. In terms of accessibility, I've been working on a series of mental health groups. I've been working with a friend of mine from Windsor, Ontario, in sort of creating educational tools for Tourette syndrome, and I've also been working with her in creating educational tools for obsessive compulsive disorder.
Wow.
So my future goals really involve advocating for these programs and these illnesses.
That's incredible. So in September, UBC is most likely moving classes online. What are your thoughts on this decision?
Well, first of all, it's very unprecedented. That's a word you hear a lot about 2020, and it's very scary. I feel especially bad for the first years that are going to be coming in. They're really going to miss that social aspect and that sort of period of where you try to discover where everyone is, where your classes are,
mm-hmm.
who your friend group is, and that's just totally gone. And I find that really just sad, and I'm grateful that I at least graduated and don't have any more classes, and really feel for the other students that definitely do. And the decision, I think, is definitely a right one, even though BC is entering phase 3 as of yesterday, and we see our COVID-19 cases plummet to avoid a secondary wave, just to abide by provincial restrictions of keeping sure that there will be less than 50 people, and lectures obviously can't accommodate for that. I think it's a wise decision. We definitely avoid liability in that regard because we don't want anyone to get sick. UBC probably is thinking about that as well, and it's just overall keeping everyone safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad time for a lot of people, but these small changes that we do, they can make a big impact on our health, and especially the health of vulnerable populations, such as individuals that may have disabilities, or individuals with respiratory problems, or our elderly.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So how did you hear about the Accessibility Collective, and what made you want to join this group?
That's a really great question. I actually have always been a person that really liked joining clubs and just discovering the clubs on campus. I've always found that a really great way to find people that are extremely passionate about topics that you may also be passionate about. So I would always, just on clubs day, walk around and see the CITR stall, and I just researched more into the CITR programs, and I came across the Accessibility Collective, and I thought, this seems like a really good fit for me. It's this group that collaborates and is very passionate about issues with individuals with disability and accessibility and increasing inclusionary ideas on campus. I've been a pretty big part of the Gender, Race, Sex, and Social Justice Club on campus, and this club seems very in the same speed as that, where we're working on making sure people feel safe, people feel like they belong, and people are given the tools to actually succeed in whatever they want to do, because universities are supposed to be like that. Individuals are able to collaborate together, discover scholarly things, and actually work on research while being able to less worry about issues that may interfere, such as disabilities and accessibility issues, so we want to really focus on that and make sure everyone's accepted.
Wow, that's well said. Well, we're really glad that you're part of the team. And again, welcome. And now you're going to interview me.
Absolutely. I'm in the hot seat now.
Yeah, you are. So go on. Go take a chance.
So my first question is, DP, how did you get involved with CITR and the Accessibility Collective?
So CITR, I really wanted to get into journalism. And it's funny, I was actually at P&E, and they usually have these booths on the side of each section, and I saw CKWX. And I thought, you know, I'll just do a demo for fun, right? And so I did a demo for CKWX, and I really enjoyed doing radio. Like, I was like, oh, I can do this. As far as, because physically, like, as you guys know, I have a disability, and physically I can't do a lot of things. But, I can do writing and all that kind of stuff, but on the computer and everything. But physically holding things is a big problem for me. So, with radio, you're just listening, or you're using the mic and a headset. And I thought this would be a perfect thing for me. Plus, I can use my voice and bring awareness, too. So it just fit. And with CITR, it was like I just did a Google search, really, to look for local radio. Actually, my support staff at the time, she did that. And I went in. I thought this was really cool. Just got my tour, and I really liked what CITR had to bring on to the table, and it's the rest is history. As far as the Accessibility Collective goes, I was asked to join because a lot of the things that I've done for CITR, as far as bringing awareness on accessibility, doing stories on that, I was asked, so do you want to join Accessibility Collective? That at the time we were doing weekly shows. So that's how I actually came involved with the collective.
It's an amazing story. No, I definitely agree. Like, you play to your strengths and you're using your voice as a tool. That's perfect.
Yeah.
For my second question, I was wondering, do you think that COVID-19 has brought attention to the lag we see in accessibility options and in school?
In school, I can't speak for, but I think this kind of gives students options to, like, they're, especially when you have a disability and it's hard for students to get up every day and go to school because, A, they don't have the transportation or something. So this is another way for them to get the education that they need by going online. Is it the best option? I don't know. But it's another form of accessibility. And, you know, to be quite honest, like, I think, Nicole or Monica, you guys can jump in too. It's created a bit of accessibility because now you have to find ways to entertain yourself or to, keep yourself active and busy. Where accessibility, you have to find other ways to make things work for you. So, I think it's definitely a challenge, but I think if you have the passion and the commitment to do that, then it could happen. But it all depends on you, right?
Absolutely. It's a very personal thing, right?
Yeah.
So, leading on to the next question, what future goals do you have in developing the Accessibility Collective and in your personal life as well?
Oh, that's tough. There's a lot of goals. I mean, I could say I wish everything was accessible. whether it's at UBC or the community that we all live in. I mean, you know, one step at a time. But I think my goal is to form people, like give them information, and then we come together and make noises, you know, like bring a voice that you know, the changes need to be made. And it's not going to be one person doing all these. It's a team effort. And I think the collective itself is a great example because that's what we're doing. We're bringing awareness. We're talking about different topics. We're giving the listeners different range of disabilities. And it's just a start. And it's just going to get better and better as the years come and go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In terms of the next question.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can you give some comments on how it is to be both a woman of color and an individual with a disability in Vancouver?
Wow, great question, Gura. Oh boy. I would say that, you know, like, you should be proud of who you are. Like, it doesn't really matter what your color skin is or what your disability is. It's if you're proud of yourself and you don't let things bother you so much, I think that anything is possible. And if you accept yourself, then people will accept you. I think that's how it goes. And I think you have to keep an open mind too, open heart. And hopefully someone else will follow that too. But I've always never looked at myself differently than like anybody else. And I think that's what the world needs to kind of look, is that we're all individuals. We all have the same likes. We all have, or maybe different likes, but we're all still, we all have emotions and feelings and everyday challenges in life. And I think that we should all come together and embrace that and help each other.
Absolutely, that's very important.
Yeah.
Especially in times like this where we're seeing racial tensions.
Exactly.
And divides.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that, but yeah. But but yeah, like I'm very proud. I'm really proud that where we're living in as well. And that we're, even though different backgrounds and everything, we still have this common goal, and we're bringing accessibility awareness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now to get to something a bit lighter than those.
Yeah.
What do you like to do for fun? And what are the hobbies that you picked up?
I love to watch movies. I love to listen to music. I'm a huge dog lover, so I love to play with my dog. I have a big dog. I like to go for walks and just explore BC. I love to take pictures. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see a lot of pictures of me exploring BC. I love, love, love to bake, which you guys, some of you guys know because I used to bring snacks to CITR. And, I also love to know what's going on around the world, so I do a lot of surfing, which kind of fits because of what we do, right? So, yeah, so that's me. Thanks, Gura.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Deep. And I'd like to transition this now into Nicole.
Yeah.
Or you, Monica.
Oh, thank you. I guess we're now switching to hot seats. I don't know if anybody knows, well, clearly nobody knows because it's all audio, but Gura is in the car right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Gura, do you want to explain that a bit?
I had a couple of plans, but I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's really cool, guys. I mean, that's if we were in the studio, we wouldn't have seen all this. So this is really cool. Yeah. Anyway.
I think it's really nice that we are able to connect anywhere.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bonus to somehow quarantining and being able to do things so remotely.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of us, we actually don't live near UBC. I mean, I come from Richmond, so I have to go all the way to UBC. And Nicole, that's quite a way.
We're gonna get to know all of our collective members.
Yeah.
And I actually haven't met these other members in person. and same as Monica, I've never seen your face until now. And our listeners would love to get to know you.
Yeah.
So you're studying physics, yet you're on radio. Was there a personal story that brought you to CITR? Like, the two are completely different.
So actually in high school, there was a really cool project for English class where I had to research information on a topic and then create a podcast episode. I thought it was really fun to kind of take together and synthesize this information and present it to an audience in a sort of entertaining, informative way. So I wanted to get involved in campus radio at UBC, which is what led me to join the Press Radio Collective. Science communication, I think, is also something that's quite important. In the future, I'd like to take what I've learned here, potentially even make my own show.
Yeah, are you going to have a show one day? What would it be on?
I would get really interested in discussing just scientific topics, interviewing people.
Oh, exciting. So
I would tune in.
Kind of leads me to my, okay, a little bit not. So who is your hero in fiction or in real life, living or dead?
There's quite a lot of people that I admire, so I can't really say any one individual person is my favorite hero, but someone I do admire and I think deserves recognition is Katherine Johnson. Some of you might know her from the movie Hidden Figures, if you've seen it. She was a brilliant mathematician at NASA, and at a time where people of color, especially women of color, faced a lot of prejudice and difficulties getting into tech. And I think her success and accomplishments are really, really inspiring. And especially in this current time, it's really important to recognize the accolades and importance and the contribution of Black people, Black women, and other women, people of color.
I love that movie. It was such an amazing movie, and it went through so much, and it's so appalling what they had to go through to contribute to where we are today. I 100% agree with you. So, what is it like? So you're in a physics program. Mm-hmm. What is it like being an Asian female? Tell us what that's like.
So, as we all know, the ratio between male and female researchers and students in physics is skewed toward male pretty heavily, and of course it's even less over females. But at UBC, so far, thankfully, I've never felt unwelcome or uncomfortable, because at UBC there aren't that many students in physics compared to other majors anyways, so we're a relatively smaller, tight-knit cohort. Like, I've seen multiple people are in every single one of my classes, right? So, it's not, I haven't paid as much attention to gender or race, but because there is less women in physics overall, it might be intimidating or off-putting to students who aren't quite sure about whether they want to pursue physics or not. But there are programs and scholarships at UBC that are geared towards female physics students, so that's definitely helpful, and I hope we'll encourage more people to pursue it.
For sure, and I think you being kind of like a face to kind of show whether other girls or other people of color, like, that you're out there doing something that the ratio doesn't show, is an inspiration, really, for people to kind of be like, I can do it, like, I'm not going to be the only one. Switching gears, what animal would you attribute yourself to and why?
I actually took a bus from Christmas about this, and the animal I got was an owl. And so as for why I think I am most like an owl, I think I prefer the company of, you know, a smaller group of close friends or people, or even just by myself. And another reason is I often try to think logically about everything before I make a decision. I'm not a very impulsive person.
Yeah. Interesting. I was wondering if you were nocturnal as well.
Sometimes.
That would make sense. Speaking of time zones, I guess, what do you hope to share with listeners this summer?
I hope people put out content that's both interesting and informative and as well entertaining. Actually, Lydia, another Accessibility Collective member, and I, we finished a really cool interview with Sam Finn, who's a documentary filmmaker, so definitely be on the lookout for that soon in a future episode.
Nice. Ooh, I can't wait.
In 2 weeks, guys. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, now, Nicole, I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Things I've been doing during quarantine. So I'm a nurse. I've been working in the hospital, which has been a journey. I think we're going to get into it later on, but just kind of a snippet. Like I mentioned that I'm hard of hearing, so the masks have definitely been difficult for me, especially those who are hard of hearing and rely on like their speech or visibility in order to communicate. It's been quite a journey. Other than that, the quarantine has given me the time to really do things I've held off for so long. I haven't gotten a haircut yet, so not everything has been done. I've been taking a lot better care of my houseplants and myself. Surprisingly, as a nurse, I don't really get time to do that, and all my days off I'm kind of just running off doing errands, so to be forced to stay inside and really kind of like listen to myself and I guess give myself that time has been a big reflection, and it was really uncomfortable at first, but now, you know, taking care of houseplants and taking time for myself has become more therapeutic. Still a struggle. Like I have injuries, so I need to go to the gym, and that's been really hard. Kind of staying at a house that's not quite equipped, or I really haven't seen my friends and family that much. I'm quite high risk for being a carrier of COVID. So that's really hard too. Yeah.
Oh, give a clap to the frontline workers. next question. Have you tried any of those quarantine food trends?
When I saw this question earlier that you wrote, and I'm like, what food trends? And I'm like, oh yes, I have a story to tell you. So I got into the bread making, and actually, so one night I was sleep reversed because I had been working night shift the day before, and I just felt like I really wanted to be super productive, but I had so much energy. And so one night I did 3 different versions of a pizza dough recipe. I, like, completely did everything. Like, rolled all the dough out. I vacuum sealed everything. And I made, like, something like 20 pizza pies. And then I guess it didn't stop there. I was like, oh, well, like, wow, look at me. And so I ended up doing my first ever sourdough loaf. And I did the entire thing, like, from rising the dough to baking it. And then I was like, oh, well, while I'm waiting for this to, like, rise, I have, like, 20 pizza pies, and I don't have any pizza sauce. So I ended up looking up another recipe for pizza sauce, and also vacuum sealed and filled all of that. Yeah, about 8 in the morning, I'm pretty sure my partner was really happy to see all that food. And I just today got my refill of yeast, so that has been my quarantine trend.
Wow, nice. What's your favorite kind of music to listen to?
My favorite kind of music. It kind of ranges. I go from like 90s girl pop boy band songs to like 90s R&B. I was listening to Notorious B.I.G. in the car today, and I was just like vibing through it, like loved it. And sometimes I'll listen to like classical music and jazz, and it's the strangest thing. But those are my go-to music.
And I'm sure a lot of us are binge watching shows. Do you have any movie or show recommendations?
Definitely. I'm gonna give you two. Alright. My first one is it's on Netflix and it's called Snowpiercer, and it's a sort of like dystopian future set in 2021. And it's a post-apocalyptic thing that happened. So when a disaster hits, it decimates pretty much the entire world inhabitable, and the remaining humans and whatever planet life they salvage travel the world in this 1,001 long car, and it's like this train, and it just like travels the world. So it's a bit like sci-fi, and I had Jennifer Connelly in it, and I just love it. And yeah, I can't wait for the next episode. I think it comes out this Sunday. And then my second recommendation is a little bit switched over. It's a Ken Burns documentary that I just got into. It's The Civil War, and it's available on PBS, and it has captions. And if you're into like history or really into what's going on with Black Lives Matter movement, this might be something people are interested in.
Okay, and my last question is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
This one is so hard. People commonly ask that question. I'm going to say it's either time travel or having duplicates of myself. I realize you study physics, so maybe you can tell me if this is probable or not. But, like, if you can technically time travel, you can probably technically have duplicates of yourself. So, either or. And I guess the reason why, I would say, yeah, there's just so much to do, and so many things to see, and so many people to visit. I would love to, like, go back in time or into the future and see, like, historical events or, like, culture. I mean, it's just not the same when you like watch a Ken Burns documentary or sci-fi show. And then I guess the reason I want a duplicate of myself is like I like to kind of like bounce ideas and also have extra hand available, like an octopus. I don't know. I just, it's weird. I don't know if I would get along with myself, but I feel like it would be nice to have multiple me's. And plus, I'd probably make like a million more pieces. If I had more
than
you.
Awesome.
Great questions.
Great questions, Monica. And great questions, Nicole. Nicole, I agree with you. I love the 90s and 80s music, too. So, yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan. So, definitely with you there. So now we're going to have group discussions. Basically, I'll be asking questions, and then we'll all take turns answering them. So the first question is, mentally and physically, how have you been coping with COVID quarantines inside by staying home? So, Monica, let's go with you first.
I've been doing actually a lot of stuff since quarantine started. I have, you know, summer classes, I have summer research programs. I basically binge watch everything. I binge watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine in 2 weeks. So I've been keeping busy doing a lot of stuff.
Awesome. For me, I thought in the beginning it was kind of cool and fun, but then as things gone on, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like very boring. Like, what do I do with my time? And it got difficult for me just getting the energy to do things. But I think slowly things are settling in and I'm getting used to it. And now I'm wondering, when things do get back to normal, how is that going to work? So I'm trying not to think about that, but it's like, oh man, yeah. It's definitely been a challenge, but I mean, I love being home too. So, but I miss going to CITR and all that kind of stuff too. So just, I guess, taking one day at a time. But Gura, how about you? How are you doing with the quarantine, mentally and physically?
Not too,
Not too bad. At first, it was kind of like a huge change for me. I'm a type of person that likes to go out a lot.
Yeah.
That likes to visit my friends a lot. And it felt very anxiety-inducing and sort of isolating. But as I started to pick up new hobbies, things like just calling friends more on Zoom calls, learning how to cook new things, just going on hikes alone, it sort of got a lot easier. But definitely isolating at the start there.
And how about you, Nicole? You kind of talked about it, but do you want to add anything?
I kind of did, yeah. For me, it was slightly different because I was going to be working in the hospital, and because we didn't know so much about COVID, and
yeah,
because we were seeing in the media how bad Italy was being impacted, it was actually quite nerve-wracking in the beginning. But I think now, as I've, you know, tried to educate myself, that really calmed me down. Yeah, and I talked about, like, physically I need to shell out a couple hundred, if not maybe even $1,000 to get my own gym kind of started out here. Our neighborhood cat, she visits everybody else's house.
Oh.
And she's been kind of noticing that we're here, like, almost every day. She just came over, so if I sneeze, my bad.
Oh, that's okay. But yeah, maybe you can talk a bit about, you know, you work as a nurse and at the hospital. What's that like? Like, not only for you, but what are your colleagues feeling, you know, with the whole COVID?
What my colleagues?
Yeah.
Say again.
Yeah, so your colleagues, like, how are they feeling with this whole COVID situation? Like, do they feel protected?
I haven't talked to everybody in depth about it. I mean, I think sometimes we don't have the time to do it, and I think sometimes it's too overwhelming to talk about it.
Right.
In the beginning, it was kind of a scramble with, some of the PPE. You know, having to store it in different places because they were being stolen, and then the eye protection came in, and then having to figure that out. You know, the supplies weren't quite organized, and it was hard to kind of feel good about going into work. And then I guess and now I think it's a little bit. I mean, BC's kind of like easing up a little bit now that it's getting warmer. I can't speak for all of my colleagues.
Yeah.
I mean, for me as a hard of hearing person, for people with cochlear implants, like, you can imagine how, okay, a lot of people are probably already wearing masks, right?
Yeah.
But with the hearing aids, you're having it to put the mask behind, loop it behind your ears, right? And with the face shield, your goggles or something, that's leaning against your earlobe, like on top of it.
Right.
And if you wear glasses like me, you have like four different things on your ears, and you're trying to hear. And if you have a neck injury like me, you're turning around and your neck is just killing you. So that's been a journey. I mean, I also felt like I couldn't hear as well, but I was like getting like this rustling noise, which was really annoying, on top of being able to hear all the sound and people's voices. So the pandemic, and in many ways, it's different in the nursing side and then different as a person who has a hearing loss. Yeah. I don't know if I mean, I could go on and on about this, but.
Yeah, no, this is good. Thanks for that. So how has the pandemic affected you? And Gura, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. The pandemic's really made me realize who my personal bubble is and who I take for granted and who really cares about me. There's always that phrase, it's like, think about the people who are checking in with you now. Those are the people that are interested in you, are thinking about you, and that actually care for you. And it's sort of, when you go into like a phase like this where the world gets a lot more bare bones, it really shows you who cares about you and who matters and who's important to you. And it's also sort of helped me become more introspective and self-sufficient in the way I navigate the world and how I exercise and how I do certain activities, sort of that kind of thing.
Do you want to add anything, Nicole? And Monica?
I think what Gura said
best. Yeah, I think you summed that really perfectly. So I'm feeling the same thing. So we'll start with you, Monica, but what surprising thing have you been stocking up on and that isn't a toilet paper?
Okay, well, I really like eating chips. Oh. So I have a bunch of packets of chips in my room right now.
What?
If any of you know this, corn potage is like this really, it's kind of obscure, kind of Asian snack, but it tastes really, really good, and that's like my favorite type of snack. So I've basically been eating one pack a day.
Oh, that's so cool. What flavor are chips?
It's supposed to taste like sweet corn soup.
Oh.
It's also salty, and it's really good.
Oh, okay. That sounds...
I'm reading about it. It's like buttered corn with parsley on top.
Yeah.
It looks like corn potage. If it's not a chip, it's like a soup or something, and I guess they made a chip version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds so good.
That's really interesting. How about you, Nicole?
Surprisingly, I don't know, I guess I didn't think I had to, like, stock up on it, but, I guess I have a surplus of vitamin right now. I don't know.
How about you, Gura? Are you stocking up anything?
Nothing in particular. I don't think, just a lot of food and snacks like the others have said. Just lots of chips, lot of rice cakes, lots of dessert, just like juices and stuff. I bought like a very large amount of protein. I bought like, I think, 5 kilograms worth. Just so I'd have enough.
Yeah. I've been stocking up a lot of baking items because I like to bake. So, you know, sugar, flour, all that kind of stuff. So those things, yes. But nothing, not
were
chips
you,
or anything.
Were you looking for a lot of,
I've been lucky, but so, there was a time where it was difficult to find. And it's funny, you mentioned earlier about the food trends. Bread was number one that people were baking, so I was like, wow, you know, that was very interesting. But, so our next question is, what's a story from a book, a movie, or an article, or even a conversation that you've recently looked, and why did it capture you in a way? So, Gura, we'll start with you. Have you read anything or a news article that really stuck out to you? And why did it stuck out to you?
I read this New York Times news article by Dr. Bonnie Henry, who's the provincial health authority here in BC. And it was basically an entire article outlining how she's done a very good job and how BC's getting back on track. And that sort of struck out to me because it's very gratifying that we're so lucky to have an administration, both in the provincial and federal level, that's very compassionate towards us, especially in times of need like COVID-19. And it's a very stark contrast when we look south down to the states and we see their cases being in the thousands to tens of thousands, like 10 new ones a day. And that really stuck out to me.
Yeah. How about you, Nicole?
My memory is right now, and I can't.
That's okay. That's okay. Monica, do you have anything?
I actually rewatched Hidden Figures. It's for the same reasons I said previously. It's super relevant now, and you guys should all go watch it.
Oh, which movie? Oh, okay. For me, there was a while back, a story about a woman named Arise Knight who, she passed away, not from COVID, but you know, a different illness, but she couldn't have a support staff due to the protocol of COVID. And sadly, she passed away alone. And there was a big story that, you know, she passed away on her own, alone, because there was no support staff there to understand what she needed. And that really captured me for someone who has a disability, because, yeah, you need someone there who knows you. And it's in times like this, even if you don't have COVID, like, it could be something else. And they automatically assume that it's COVID maybe, right? But it could be different things, and the support staff or the family member would know all that history of the individual who might not have COVID. So it really struck to me how things are, that if you're in the hospital, you can't have your loved ones. And I totally understand the whole protocol and stuff like that, but it's, like, scary at the same time, too. So it made me really think about it. But at the end, what happened was BC changed that law or the policy that at least a family member or a support staff can accompany a person with a disability to the hospital so that they're not alone. So BC the self-advocates really spoke about that, because there was a petition going around. So all as well, but sadly, you know, Aries night, she passed away, and it's a shame that it had to be that way, but hopefully things like that don't happen. And so that really struck to me, now we're going to get to our last question, because we're almost out of time. But what's something that you miss and don't miss that surprises you? And Monica, we'll go with you.
Something that I definitely miss is seeing everybody on campus, doing on-campus activities and going to club events.
Yeah.
Something that I don't miss that surprises me is that I don't miss going to the mall and going shopping. Which is great, because I used to do that a lot.
Oh, really? Oh. Are you doing online?
Sorry?
Are you doing online shopping?
Actually, no. I haven't bought that much stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow, you really don't miss it. Good for you. For me, I think I definitely miss seeing everybody at CITR. I miss seeing my friends. I just miss being out and about. But what I don't miss is actually always being out. You know, the summer is coming, so it does get really warm and stuffy, so maybe staying home is a good idea. How about you, Nicole? What do you miss and don't miss?
I think I miss the freedom to do things at liberty. Mm-hmm. I don't realize how lucky we are to just kind of go to the store like 3 times in 1 day and run and walk out.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, you know, I'm not really much of a hugger, and I didn't realize how much I kind of miss hugging my mom. And I think when she hears this, she's just going to get me. Oh, God. It's kind of funny. At work, I found out there was this coworker who gives the best hugs. And because, like, we had, like, I'm dirty, we call each other dirty, but we're just saying his lingo. I gave her a hug, and she sort of, like, my mom hug at work. So there's that. And I guess I also miss, like, trying new things at Liberty, you know? Like now there's just so much to consider, and, yeah, it's just harder in that sense, and I don't miss the crowded places. I hate lineups, though, but I don't miss, yeah, like, the mall, like you said. I don't miss, like, crowded beaches, crowded hikes. I haven't been up there, but it looks like it's less crowded, which might be really nice. Yeah.
And, girl, how about you?
What I really miss is, a lot of music, a lot of live music, going to concerts and things like that is what I find that I'm missing a lot. And what I don't miss is actually eating out. I actually am okay with a lot of home-cooked meals and just not spending that much money, I find.
I agree with you on that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of cooking and baking, so that it's saving my money in somewhat. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Okay, so that wraps up our show. Wow, that went by so quick. If you are interested in joining our team or think that there's an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page as well.
And if you're on Twitter or Instagram or both, follow us at @access_CITR.
And if you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on CITR.ca by going on the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
And you guys, it is... This show will be airing on Wednesday, which happens to be Canada Day. So, happy birthday, Canada.
Happy birthday, Canada.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
There is currently no vaccine to prevent coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19. You can protect yourself and help prevent spreading the virus to others if you
wash your hands regularly for 20 seconds with soap and water or alcohol-based hand rub.
Cover your nose and mouth with a disposable tissue or flexed elbow when you cough or sneeze.
Avoid close contact, 1 meter or 3 feet, with people who are unwell.
Stay home and self-isolate from others in the household if you feel unwell.
Don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth if your hands are not clean.
Monitor yourself for common symptoms of COVID-19, like a fever, cough, or shortness of breath.
Call a health professional if you're experiencing these symptoms.
Hello, this is Sabiwa, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9, Vancouver. Yeah.